This is message 4 of the Bangkok Conference, October 2015. Verses are 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 to 22, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, chapter 11, verse 11, and 23 and 24, chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, and verse 16, chapter 12, verses 22 through 29, Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, and verses 10 and 11. Dear Father, once again, put the fellowship this morning before you. Do appear to us and speak to us. May the Holy Spirit work among us. You said, apart from you, Lord, we cannot do anything. We are not willing to do anything by ourselves. May all the fellowship come out of your spirit and out of us. Do give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation to fully understand the will of God. Father, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Diane, praise the Lord. We pray for the meeting this morning. So, may your will be done on earth as in heaven. This is your churches to bless your word in this meeting. Let your spirit speak freely. Give us an ear to listen and understand. Praise the Lord.
Amen. The hymn we sang this morning was very good. But there's one sentence that needs some improvement. That is line 3 of verse 1. It's a Chinese version of the doctors wear bereavement. Well, the English version is better. Of the doctrines were bereft. In English, the word doctrines is in quotation marks. He's talking about the Chinese version. Referring to all the doctrines of man and of religion. If you want to remove even the doctrines, the teachings of the Bible, then that's not good. You keep singing and singing and singing. In the end, you think, oh, I don't need any more teachings anymore. No, that doesn't work. God's teachings, every teaching of the Lord is good. But if it's man's teachings, then it's not good. But if it's the teaching of the scriptures, it's the word of this Bible that cannot be taken away, that should not be taken away. So you need to improve this line in the Chinese hymn. It's to put it in quotation marks. If the Holy Spirit comes to teach us, do not get rid of it. Okay. I hope that what needs to be changed should be changed in a good way. Otherwise, otherwise, subconsciously, you sing this kind of thought into you, especially the young people. So, no matter what we do, whether we sing, we fellowship, we all need a spirit of discernment. Do not listen loosely. And do not sing loosely either. You need a discerning spirit. It's only with a discerning spirit that we can truly please God. You have to remember, Peter said, you have to receive the pure milk of the Word. God's Word is pure. Do not let people add something to it. Nor do you not, should you let people take away anything. You know, we people like to add something to the beginning and something to the head and to the tail, so to speak. Because we think that we're smarter than God. Oh, it's not clear enough, so I'll add a little bit to it. This is not good. I don't agree with it. Then let's just take it out. Do not do this. Whatever is the word of the scriptures, whatever the Holy Spirit wants to speak, we all need to receive it. But we need to discern. Whether it's of the Holy Spirit or whether it's of man. That's why may the Lord be gracious to us. If you want to be such a person, then you need have to learn to be a spiritual person, to live in your spirit. Always listening to the speaking of the Holy Spirit within you. Otherwise, man speaks loosely and you listen loosely. Do not be such a person. That was what happened in the past. So may the Lord preserve us. Amen. Now today we continue to fellowship concerning Jerusalem. Today in the New Testament age, the church is Jerusalem. But it is not earthly. It has to be heavenly. Is not only a teaching, but it should be heavenly. Do not think that the building of the church is very easy. If it were very easy, we don't have to talk about 2,000 years ago, even today, right now. Tell me, is it easy? People do not listen, or do not obey. Is it still easy? I live myself and you live yourself. Is that easy? If man wants to be the head, would that be easy? You have your viewpoints and I have my own opinions. Would that be easy? Now who should we listen to? I am the elder, you have to listen to me. Is that how it is? Now if what I say is out of myself and it's not from the Lord, then what? Would you listen? You won't listen? Don't you know that I have been appointed by God? You don't listen? I give you one warning. According to the Bible, a second time, and the third time if you don't listen, please leave. Is this building the church? Brothers and sisters, the building of the church is not as simple as you think. It is not like this. But that it requires that we all live in our spirit and learn to hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking within us. Besides, it has to be according to the scriptures, because the speaking of the Holy Script, because the speaking of the Holy Spirit would not be in conflict with the word in the Bible. If we have the Bible, we also have the Holy Spirit. These two are consistent. You not only have to read the Bible, that is not enough. You also have to live by the teaching of the Holy Spirit within you. Otherwise, whatever you speak and what you live out are two different things. That doesn't work either. Do not think that you just sit here and listen to something, oh, the speaking is not bad, and that's enough. No, it doesn't work. The living also has to be right. If you can speak and yet you cannot live it out, it is shameful. You should stop talking. You should shut your mouth and not speak anymore. That's better. If you want to speak, then you have to go live it. Otherwise, whatever you and I speak, it's all empty words. It's all empty. It is not the Holy Spirit, but it is not zero. It is N-O-U-G-H-T, not. So the building of the church is not easy. Hebrews tells us that the church is spiritual and heavenly. And it also tells us that the Holy Spirit speaks. And you should not harden your heart and not listen to the Spirit. The speaking of the Holy Spirit is consistent with the scriptures. There is no conflict. But if you just have the word in the Bible without the Holy Spirit, there is no life in it. So, brothers and sisters, I hope that the brothers and sisters would learn and practice to live in your spirit. If you are a person living in your spirit, you would often hear the speaking of the Holy Spirit. You would be full of feeling within you. Your conscience is normal. You have a good conscience. A good conscience toward God and toward men. You have a good conscience. This is how Paul exercised to live in the Spirit. How about us? We live in our flesh, in our self, and oftentimes our conscience is dull. And even though it's wrong, we still think that it's right. Even if you do something wrong, you can still sleep well. Lord Jesus. Now, in this way, is this living in the Spirit? No, it doesn't work. So may the Lord really help us. Help us to be in Spirit. Besides the building of the church today, Paul also said, if the building has to be fitly joined together, it is in Spirit, in our spirit, and in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is joined to our spirit. It's only in this way that we can become the habitation of God. Paul said it in this way. Peter also said the same thing. We are being built up into a spiritual house. Not just that we are all together and we are all happy and noisy and then that's the building. And after the meeting, everybody goes home, and that's the building. You live your life, and I live my life. And in the Lord's Day, we come together for a meeting, and that's called the building. It's not that cheap. It is not. You have to learn to reject your flesh. Do not forget, the Lord Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. Because our self is often in conflict with the Lord. Not only do I have a conflict with you and you with me, but we have much more conflict with God. Here in the church, I have a conflict with you, and you have a conflict with me, and I don't submit to you, and you do not submit to me. Now tell me, would you submit to God? That's lying. That's deceiving people. You want to be great in the church, but you have forgotten there's one greater than you. Are you the head? You're not. Christ is the head. The man is the head of the woman. Is that it? No, there's a head above your head. Christ is the head of every man. Christ is the head of every man. So, who is actually the head? If you are the head of your wife, then do you have a head above your head? Then who is your head? Christ is your head. Then who is the head? He is the one who is the head. And above the head of Christ, there's another head. Then God is the head. So eventually, who is the head? But if in your family, the woman can be the head, is that according to the Bible? Then then you would say, okay, fine, I'm the husband, I'm the head. Then, are you the head? Who is the head at home? Are you? Right? He doesn't dare to say, I'm asking him. I don't want him to translate it. This question is for you, brother. I'm sorry. I'm joking a little here. Actually, it's not a joke. It is actually not a joke. It is reality. At home, I am not the head. Christ is the head. In the church, are you the head? Who is the head? Christ is the head. If you're not in the spirit, this teaching does not work. There's no way. In the flesh, I want to be the head. And the sister wants to be the head. Not only the brothers want to be the head. Oh, the elder is the head, right? No. It's Christ who is the head. Now, if you were go to the Lord and ask, Lord, are you the head? He would tell you, no. The Father is my head. He is greater than I. Because he is in the position of the Son, and he's in the position as a man, then God is his head. Do you think that the triune God is a simple thing? It is not simple at all. People want to simplify the Bible. Just like the Chinese characters, they want to simplify it and simplify it to the extent we don't even know what is written. Is this Bible simple? How many years have you been reading this? Sunday, how many years have you been reading the Bible? He said, whew, many years. You've forgotten how many years. Do you understand everything? How much do you understand? Is it simple? Oh, as long as you believe, it's good enough. It's good enough. Is it simple? The more I read, the more I feel, Lord, I do not understand. This book is living. It depends on how much you have grown spiritually. And it also depends on whether your heart is right. Whether you are a person who obeys God. A person who obeys God speaking. So tell me, is it easy to be a spiritual man? You have to exercise and practice this daily. The brother asked me, how do I get to know the Holy Spirit and to hear the Holy Spirit? There's no way for me to describe it to you. Because it has much to do with your heart. Why does the Bible say, blessed are the pure in heart? Because you can see God. If my heart is not pure, I want to see God. God wouldn't want to see me. I thought, I am very great and I want to go see God, and God would say, who are you? Unbelievers say, where is there a God? Show me. Tell him to show his face. I said, are you qualified to see God? The Bible says, if a person like you would see God, you will be killed. He would kill you. You dare to see God? Today, you say you want to see the king of Thailand. I do not believe there's a king. Tell him to come see me. Would he come meet with you? Oh, then there's no king. If he's there, why wouldn't he come to see you? Have you ever thought, am I qualified to see him? You do not listen to the Lord every day and you still want to see him? Whatever we do are contrary to him, and you still think that he wants to see you? That is why if a person is not living in the Spirit, how could the church be built up? You say, oh, Brother John, you talk about it, the church in such a way that nobody can build it. I say, yes, no one can build the church. This is what the Bible says. It's not something that can be built by man's hands. What can you and I build? After it's built up, it's a one big mess. Now tell me, what should we do? We all have to go to the Lord in our spirit and tell the Lord, Lord, Father, come search me and come conquer me, to save me. Do not think that you are already saved. You are only saved by just a little bit. Your thoughts, your mind is not yet saved. Your will is still so strong, everybody has to listen to you, listen to me, and you like to quarrel. And you can also strike the brother, and you also scold people. And you do your own thing, you do whatever you like. Can you build? Do you know, at the building of the temple, you cannot hear any tok, 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 tok sound. And we built the church. Ba ba ba, you do this, and ba ba ba, you do that, this and that, and pa 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 pa. Pa 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 pa. There's lots. If you build in this way, God says it doesn't work. This is man's hands. This is man's hands. It's your hands. Now, for such a building, when it's built in the end, do you think the Lord would live there? Is that the house of the living God? Can it be built in this way? Even if you were given 1,000 years, you still cannot build it up. It has been 2,000 years and we still cannot build up anything. Do not say that, oh, John says the church is spiritual, so it's heavenly and it's abstract. For you, it's abstract. Well, the Lord Jesus does not consider it as abstract. That is why you have to learn to go before Him. Go into the Holy of Holies all the time. And spend more time living before God. This is what the book of Hebrews tells us. You have to enter into the heavenly throne of grace all the time to receive grace. You have to tell the Lord, Lord, I cannot make it. I cannot do it. You come and do it. You come do it. You come save me. Otherwise, what should you do? That's why the words in the book of Hebrews are very important. So, in the end, in the church, you're always looking at people. That's how it is. You're trying to pull people in, and you try to utilize people and do things according to your own will. Do not do this anymore. If this is the case, God says He will come shake. He will shake everything that is man-made, everything that is created, and He will remove it. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read it again. Actually, the prophet Haggai had said this a long time ago. So that is why you should not consider that as the Old Testament. The book of Hebrews actually quotes the words in the entire scriptures. So if you don't go read, you will not understand. And if you're not in your spirit, you will not understand either. Let's read. There are many words of warning in the book of Hebrews. Chapter 12, beginning with verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. It's He who speaks. You should not refuse what He speaks. You can refuse man speaking, but you should not refuse His speaking. God does not speak loosely. For if they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth, you have to remember, if they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth, although God is very patient today and He's gracious to us, do not think that you can escape. The writer of the book of Hebrews said, tells us that you cannot escape. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Meaning to say that in the New Testament age, it's even more severe. I remember what Brother Wang said some years ago in Singapore, that God would punish you severely. Brother Wang, do you still remember that? I will never forget that, because I fear God. Do not think, in the New Testament age, it's full of grace and God will forgive me. No, God will punish severely. You are mistaken. It is not that God would not punish us severely. But if they're still today, he is still patient and waiting and hoping for us to repent. But if you do not repent, and just you wait till he comes, then the word of our brother would come to pass. May the Lord have mercy on us. And look to the Lord in a good way. And we look to the Lord together. Now here it says, whose voice then shook the earth? It shook the earth. But now, he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Wow. Tell me. You see, I listen to the Lord. Really so? Did his word shake your heart? After you read the word of the Lord, are you not afraid? After you finish reading the Bible, you say, hallelujah, and nobody fears God. You have not been shaken up inwardly. Can God's word not shake up your heart? When God spoke at that time on Mount Sinai, the earth shook. Today you hear the word, God's word, and it doesn't shake you up. You just say, hallelujah, hallelujah. Whether it's right, you say hallelujah. Whether it's wrong, you say hallelujah. And you say amen. And everybody likes to say amen. Even before people finish the sentence, you say amen. And you say amen to everything. Do you think that once you say amen, it's done, it's finished? God's word should shake our heart, because you do not know our God as the consuming fire. We love to speak, but we do not fear God. God wants to shake us if he does not shake us, we will be loose and do things loosely and be presumptuous. I will never forget this word, presumption. Because you and I are both like this. In our flesh, we are all like this. We have no fear. That's why the Lord's word says here, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made. I hope that we would voluntarily say to the Lord, Lord, whatever can be shaken in my heart, please remove it right now. Or do you want to wait until he comes to shake you, to discipline you? Chapter 12 talks about the Lord's chastening. In the beginning of chapter 12, it says that whom the Lord loves, he chastens. You say, God loves me, but he never disciplines you. I'm afraid he does not love you. Because if he loves you, he would chasten you. If he cannot discipline you, because you do not allow him to discipline you, what does Hebrews chapter 12 say? You are what? You're a bastard. As if you were not born of him. My mother used to tell me when I was young that, oh, we picked you up out of the trash can. Oh, I was picked out of a trash can. Oh dear. Oh Lord Jesus. If God cannot chasten you, then it is not a good thing. If God chastens you, it's because he loves you. You do not want to receive his discipline? Then forget it. Do not think that I would discipline you. I will not. I am not qualified to do so. I am just simply saying his word to you. Why? He says it's a... It's the removal of those things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Only the heavenly things that God made cannot be shaken. As to the rest, no matter how great your building is, how beautiful it is, God would remove it all. Today, you need to be a wise person. Tell the Lord, Lord, save us. Remove everything that is from me. Please come and save me. I do not want to build, and I do not want to do everything in vain, that everything is empty and everything would be removed in the future. It's what God does not want. Do not think that for God everything goes. No, especially concerning the heavenly building, the New Jerusalem. It comes down out of God from heaven. It's not built up by created things. It is not what the flesh of man can build. It's not built up based on our ability. We all need to see this. Otherwise, we are proud and haughty people, and we are presumptuous. Yet in the end, once again, it's shaken and it collapses. The flesh comes out, and man wants to be the head again. And rebellion comes around. Oh, I am responsible for the church. Once again, I hear such sayings. Who is responsible in the church in Bangkok? Is it you? Oh, it's you together, no? Oh, let's add a few more. If we add a few more, then it'd be good, no? Then who is responsible here? Him alone. If you are responsible, or if it's I who is responsible, it will be one big mess. The more you take responsibility, the worse it gets. Don't you believe that? I'll give you another 10 years to bear responsibility. Perhaps today it's still not so obvious. In a few years, it will be evident. Have we not learned the lesson enough yet? It repeats. History repeats again. That is why we need to see today. The New Jerusalem comes out from God, and it comes down from heaven. It's not what man's hands can build. It's not built up by created things. Now the true tabernacle, Hebrews chapters 8 and 9 says, is not what man's hands can build. Now the true worship, or the true tabernacle, it's all heavenly. What does the book of Hebrews say? It's the Lord who builds it. It's Hebrews 8 verse 2. He's a minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. And it's not through the blood of goats and sheep, but it's the true lamb, the real sacrifice, the spiritual sacrifice. It was the blood of the Lord that can cleanse you. And then it says, verse 4, for if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since they are priests who offer the gifts according to the law. Please remember verse 5. Verse 5, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things. This word is important. Meaning to say, those offerings that's mentioned in Leviticus, one by one, they are all according to what is in the heavens. It's a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. What does that mean? That means that Jesus Christ is the reality of each and every one of those offerings. If there is no such offering in the heavens, then there would not be these offerings on earth at all. Do you think that Moses was so smart that he thought of an offering called the burnt offering? A meal offering? Do not forget, each and every one of these offerings are according to the image that is in heaven. You say, you don't need this, you don't need this. You are the one who said it. Each one of those offerings are a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. Except today, it's no longer the bulls and the sheep. It's no longer the fine flour. Those are just a copy of the heavenly things. That is why the reality of these things today are the reality of each and every one of the offerings. If you want to know Christ as these offerings, then you have to learn each and every one of these offerings. Tell me, isn't Christ our sin offering? You say yes. But isn't he our burnt offering? He also is? Really? Then what's the difference? Oh, there's no difference. If you say the Lord Jesus, that's good enough. Is it that simple? It's because that you don't know. That's why you say so. I'm sorry, you're ignorant. That's why you say so. I'm sorry, we have to open ourselves to the Lord. Oh God, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know Christ. because each and every one of these offerings describe the riches of our Christ. It is very meaningful. It is not without significance. Just as Moses erected the tabernacle in the wilderness, here it says, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, meaning to say, God warned Moses very strictly. How he was to build. Everything had to be fully according to the pattern in the heaven. So do not think that that's the Old Testament, that's old, that's old. It's old. You say, Brother John, why do you say so many times it's old, old, and old? It's because man's concept is like that. That's why you don't care about that. You say it's useless. You don't need to go read it anymore. It's meaningless because it's over. It's in the past. Is it over? No. The book of Hebrews says no. It's fully according to the pattern that's in the heavens. Now let me ask you. Did you see the heavenly pattern? No? Then how are you going to build? You cannot see the heavenly pattern. Who sees it? Who saw it? Moses did. Now the tabernacle that he built in the wilderness, you have to read that in detail. Then you would understand what the heavenly pattern is today. Isn't that right? Otherwise, how are you going to see the heavenly pattern? You tell me. Where are you going to go see? Are you going to go up to heaven? You sit in China Airlines and you go up there? Where are you going to see the heavenly pattern? It's right here. But you need spiritual eyes and spiritual understanding for that. But if you have the old concept, oh, that's all useless. Oh, Brother John is trying to bring us back to the old covenant. How would I bring you back to the old covenant? Tell me, am I trying to bring you back to the Old Testament? Is that right? Do you believe that? No. We're talking about the heavenly things. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Thank the Lord. Today we do not do anything else. I want to know, Father, give all the saints a spirit of wisdom. To see the heavenly pattern well. How to see this? You have to go look Moses up. That is why the Lord Jesus said, if you do not hear Moses, you won't hear me. Because Moses spoke concerning me. That means to say, if you want to understand me, you have to understand Moses. Whatever he said, whatever he recorded, that all spoke of me. That's why we now go back to chapter 11 for a minute. Abraham, this is what Abraham is waiting for. Because that good land, the land of Canaan, is not yet the real inheritance. It's earthly, it's not the heavenly one. That's why it says here, beginning with verse 9, chapter 11, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country. He was a guest there in a foreign country. If it was what God had given him, why would he still be a foreigner there? Dwelling in tents. That's temporary. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Wow. Now tell me, isn't that good? The Chinese say that Jing Ying, what's the meaning of that? It's what God had planned. God designed it. Besides, he invested everything that he wanted to do into this. What he wanted to gain out of it. Besides, who is the builder? It's God who builds. Do you believe that you and I can build this? That is why today you have, if you want to go build, then you have to ask God. On one hand, you need to know the heavenly pattern, and on the other hand, you have to read Revelation chapter 21 100 times. It's still not enough. Because the New Jerusalem in chapter 21 of Revelation comes down out of heaven from God. It's fully described there. Amen. May the Lord give us heavenly wisdom. And a heart of fear and trembling. A heart that fears the Lord. to hear him well and do according to his word. If not, God will be a consuming fire to you in the future. Yes, amen.